Searching for local businesses in Northwest Arkansas just got easier. From restaurants to roofers, boutiques to baristas, finditnwa.com connects you to the best local businesses with just one click. Discover something local, something great. Visit finditnwa.com today. Find it fast, find it local, finditnwa.com.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn, and today we're catching up with a familiar voice and a familiar laugh. If you've been listening for a while, you might remember episode 253 when we sat down with Francisco Valencia, better known as the Frisco Kid, to talk about the power of comedy in Northwest Arkansas. Francisco is back with us today, and we're diving into how he's continuing to use comedy, not just to entertain, but also to educate and inspire the audiences he connects with. From live shows to community engagement, Francisco has been making people laugh while shining a light on the important stories and lessons that resonate both here in Northwest Arkansas and beyond. So get ready to laugh, learn, and catch up with one of the funniest and most insightful voices in our community, the Frisco Kid. Francisco, how are you doing, man?
I am pretty good. Thank you for that lovely introduction, Randy. It was awesome. It got me hyped.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, you know, like I said, when I reached out to you, I said I really wanted to catch up. And, you know, I think in the current times that we're in, it's important to have, you know, a grounding, right? And I think comedy is one of those places where no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you can find some humor and you can laugh. And I think we all are overdue for a good laugh, a good chuckle, a good story that reminds us of our humanity. And one of the things that I've seen with a lot of the comedy shows that I watch, and I'm a serial comedy guy. Like if I turn on Netflix, I'm watching Chappelle. Obviously, I've seen all of his shows over and over and over again, as I'm sure as a comedian you have too. But I mean, I watch so many different comedians and I love gleaning from their first person perspective on the world. And I know that there's so many of us that are in the audience that are, you know, have our own thoughts about things, both from a humorous perspective, but then also from just the reality of the lives that we live every day. And so I thought it would really be good just to kind of check in with you because of the work that you're doing both in our community here locally, as well as beyond. I mean, you are moving around. Every time I look up, you're doing a show somewhere. I think you had just recently done a big show down in Fort Smith, where I think maybe you opened for Pauly Shore. Yes, I saw that. I was like, yo, this brother is blowing up. I got to get him back on my podcast. The folks, I'm going to tell you the joke that I had with Francisco was that, man, I said, you know, I just want to connect with him and rub shoulders with him before Netflix comes calling. Because once that happens, the gloves are off and it's game over. But no, seriously, though, you know, every great comedian has started somewhere. And I think when we last spoke, we talked a little bit about just the simple fact of the grind of comedy. But I would love to know how your journey in comedy has continued to evolve since we last spoke with you almost 2 years ago.
Man, it's just been a grind, you know, and you get a saying in comedy, and I get told this a lot. Most people don't make it past 2 years, you know, and they usually give up. Or when I first started, I had all those people around me, and the first thing they told me was, don't worry, man, these people are not going to be around in 2 years. And fair enough, that it's true. A lot of people don't see the success and everybody wants to see something and the climb is there. You just got to, right now, everyone's, hey, you're lucky, you know, like you can't, this is all happening for you. And I was like, yeah, it feels good to finally be at a point where, you know, I'm able to really, really just pour out everything. But at first it was a grind and it was hard and the hard work, everything. No, but nobody usually sees that. But it was a grind. It was a grind. And I stuck to it and stuck to my guns. And had the right support group, had the right people involved, had, you know, had to pick who I wanted there. And it's mostly because of them that I'm able to get this far, and how everyone's excited for me is the same people that supported me when, you know, when I'm like, ah, oh, man, this is worth it. It kind of sucks sometimes. And now everybody said, man, the way the talent, the way you do things, the way you keep the crowd on the grip is something that not a lot of people can do. So if you give up now, it's going to be a waste. So they kept me on check and basically put gas in the fuel when I needed it. So
no, I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, and certainly for those that have not heard the previous episode, I would love for you just to share a little bit about your background and where you came from, and actually what propelled you into comedy. And then I certainly want to encourage people to go back and listen to that episode, because it was fire. It was a really good episode. And I've gotten comments on it since then, even 2 years later. But just give a quick cliff note version of your superhero origin story, and then I want to jump back into what you were just talking about.
When I first got into comedy, I've always wanted to do it. You know, I've always wanted to do it. And just like any growing up, I saw when I was little, and I've always wanted to do it. And I just didn't know, you know, when you play soccer, you play football, baseball, there's camps, there's places you can go. But, you know, when you tell your parent that, where do they take you? You know, there's not a school, there's not a, you know, there's not something that you can go do. But when I started comedy, there was an open mic, and I said, you know what? I just felt like, you know, when Thor reaches for his hammer or just puts the hand up, that's what the mic felt like to me. I felt like the mic was just gonna, like, it just, I'm so attracted to it that when I look down at it, I feel like it's part of my hand. Like, if it sounds crazy, but like, I did a show the other day, and I was warming up, and I had the mic in my hand, and just like, I looked at it for a second, I was like, this feels like I'm making my living off of this. I'm going to continue to push forward. And that's basically how I got into it, man, is just willing to take the chance, whether it's going to fail or not, and not really caring what people had to say, or, you know, that fear that just grounds you so much sometimes that, oh, I got to prepare more, or I got to go do it, or something like that. So just having the courage to just to move forward and be happy, because it's one of the best decisions I ever made. So coming from a place of fear to now fearless. All day. Give me any stage, any part of the city, you name it. I've been down in the Memphis. I've been down in New York, Florida, LA, Texas. You know, I got fans in Wisconsin. One asking me, when am I going to go to Wisconsin? No, I've never been to Wisconsin.
Right. Well, and I've noticed that your social media following has grown considerably since we last spoke, which certainly is a testament to the work that you're putting into this. Now, you're originally, correct me if I'm wrong, you're originally from Southern Cal.
Yes, sir. And
how did you end up here in Northwest Arkansas again?
J.B. Hunt.
That's right. Okay.
J.B. So. They wanted everybody. Well, this place is growing so much that they wanted everybody to come home and work from NWA. So when I was out there, I didn't even know what Arkansas was. You know, they told me about Arkansas, and I was like, what's Arkansas? And fair enough, they're like, you know what? It's the trip is paid for. You can stay in a nice hotel. They're going to pay for everything. Just go and have a good time. And fair enough, I came and I fell in love with it, and I was like, this is where it's at. So yeah, I bought a house. Yeah, never looked back.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and I'm always telling people that Northwest Arkansas is would you agree that this is a very inviting place, even for somebody that's new here? I mean, I tell people that all the time. They don't believe me. And then I'm like, anybody that you've talked to, that I've talked to on my podcast, has all said the same thing about how inviting Northwest Arkansas is. And I get it. No place is perfect, and nor is Northwest Arkansas, but they do a pretty good job of leaving the light on and the welcome mat out for people when they come here. So, love. I mean, am I lying?
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Right. Yeah.
So, not like when I first thought about this place, I didn't know what to think. You know, I had like all my cows, country. I didn't really process it right. That's why I came, and like I said, I didn't look back. You know, I love to hear everybody's welcoming. There's rarely a chance. I mean, just like anywhere, if you want trouble, you're going to find it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those things that what your intentions are in life or what you're trying to do. Like, I always tell people, like, this is the place to move if you want to make something happen, because there's so opportunities and people are so like wanting to invest in people. And I feel like that's what I did with my comedy and with people. I let people into my dream, because not a lot of people share that. A lot of people don't go out there and post their dream, and this is like, there's a lot of fear in it when people will say, oh, I'm gonna say something about my dream, because some people just hold it in and and don't say anything to it. So when I started doing comedy, I would let people know, this is my dream. This is what I want to do. And fair enough, people invested in it. So like I said, right now, I'm rolling, I'm going. And I think just inviting people to your dream, especially in a welcoming area like this, people get excited about it. And when you put results, then they really invest in you, you know?
So yeah.
That's what.
Well, and I think it speaks volumes. I know when we last spoke, I mean, you almost have like a comedy troupe, right? Like you have enlisted people around you and you've basically not necessarily brought them, well, kind of brought them under your wing and they're taking the journey with you, right? So it's like, and like I tell people all the time, you can always lead and there'll be people that'll be one or two steps right behind you that are going to follow and, you know, they'll do what you're doing. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of when you kind of build up a community of comedians, especially. And every time I look up and when I see you posting, you're never posting just about yourself, but you're also posting about those on your team and those that you participate with, like at the Music Depot and other places that you go out. And so it's not just the Frisco Kid, but you've got this whole crew of folks that are all kind of in their own places and at their own degree of understanding and ability within the comedy world are out there trying things as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had to, you know, everybody that says they're self-made, I don't believe in that. I mean, I came from having nothing to, you know, anything I decide to do, it's going to happen. And I have the proper backup. I have all these things and I can't do it alone. And I always tell them, I was like, one of us just has to get in the door. And whether they're looking for this, you know, I have a variety of comedy, but I have also different people that people vibe with or, you know, may like them better, you know. So I want them to, I care more about the experience with people. So when they come to the show and they can relate to a different comic, I don't care if they like my set or not. As long as they're able to get that connection, I'm not selfish and I want to be able to share like everything that happens with me. And I tell my team, one of us is going to make it. And when that wave comes, I want everybody to be able to surf it, you know, and ride along. And now I just feel like I have so much to offer and people will do too. And it's just exploring, poking at them, asking what they want to do, who they want to be in life and see how I can help. Cause at the end of the day, I mean, one of us just got to make it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, like I always say, a rising tide lifts all ships. And so whether you rise or somebody else in your crew rises, it ultimately impacts all of you guys, you know? And you look at like, I always talk about this documentary that I saw called Comedian and Jerry Seinfeld and a bunch of those guys are in that documentary. If you haven't seen it, it's excellent. But they talked about just the grind and the, and, you know, having to do this over and over again. But one of the things that the through line through that documentary was that all of the comedians would encourage each other. Now you had a few that might be, that didn't want to see others succeed, but overall, you know, there were always people rooting for all the other comedians. Like Chris Rock would talk about how Jerry Seinfeld would encourage him and root for him. And, you know, the list goes on. And Eddie Murphy said some of the same things about how he, you know, and these are things like you would think like, man, these comedians are so wildly different, but yet and still behind the scenes, they're rooting for each other. They're rooting for their success. They're rooting to see them succeed and to grow. And I always thought that was really interesting about, you know, what it takes for a comedian to make it.
Yeah, no, that's very, very true. Because I have sometimes, you know, you see a crowd and there's just like the overwhelming of like sometimes different cultures, who's in the audience. And sometimes you see it and it's just kind of like it's overwhelming. So I'm always trying to get in the back of the ears of my team. This is nothing.
Yeah.
This is nothing, bro. We practice. We do this all the time. This, all you got to do is be yourself. They pay to see you. They didn't pay to see Chris Rock. They didn't pay to see these people. They're here to see you. So give them what you got. We go through this over line. We have writing sessions. We try to make sure that we polish our lines. Like we'll get together and we'll tell our jokes and we see it, the painting, but there's somebody else from the side that sees a bigger picture and they're able to go in there and fix it up, tune it up and deliver it how it's meant to be delivered. And when everyone's laughing in the group, you know, it's going to be funny when you spread it out. So, you know.
Yeah, makes a big difference. So talk about some of the new opportunities or stages that you have found yourself on in these last 2 years. And I know it's a lot. Just give us a cliff note understanding of, you know, how things have continued to evolve for you. As I mentioned earlier, right at the top of the show, I talked a little bit about Pauly Shore and you opening for him down in Fort Smith. But how have things changed for you since we last spoke? And I know you guys have a regular show at the Music Depot in downtown Rogers, which I want to give a shout out to. We had Reggie and Anthony on the podcast a while back. And so I certainly want to encourage folks to get down to the Music Depot and DTR, Downtown Rogers, as the cool kids like to say, to check it out. But you guys have a regular standing show there now, right?
Yes, we do it every, I think, the second week of every month. Okay. So we're trying to make sure that the first week you pay your rent.
Right, right.
We make it more contos like the second, just because I know, I mean, just finances, you know, growing up and figuring out the real world, we're able to come out, afford it the second week of every month. And I'm bringing different comics out. You know, I'm blowing it out to a way where people are curiosity. So they're starting to hit me up left and right. Hey, when can I come to the Music Depot? When's the availability and all that stuff. So it's just trying to get everybody to line them up to just to bring it here. Cause I want it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a boiling pot, you know, and right now is so many different cultures. Our last show had the most diversity on any other show that's ever been done here. So that was awesome. You know, so just having, just looking out to the crowd, just seeing different faces being brought to one spot is, that's probably like the best feeling that I can have, or as an entertainer, just not just 1% of people, but just multiple people in the crowd, you know? So that's awesome. And all the stages keep getting bigger. You know, people are calling, people are asking me. And the question I get asked a lot is, hey man, you know, what time can you get here? I was like, where's the venue? It's like downtown LA. And I was like, I live in Arkansas, bro. And the best compliment I got, it was that your name's popping off out here, like if you live here.
Right, right.
So this is just, well, I mean, I'm putting in work and just pushing forward. So like the opportunities have opened out. People like the voice. So I'm hosting events now too as well. I'm doing weddings. I'm emceeing fashion shows. Next month I'll be doing the fashion show. So I mean, a lot of opportunities, a lot of doors are opening up and taking full advantage of them. And yeah, I mean, something's got to happen. Something's going to happen.
So absolutely.
I'm at that point where I'm just, where's it? You know, I have dreams about it. And sometimes they used to feel like, oh man, that seems so far. That seems untouchable. And now I'm at that point where I'm like, I feel like I'm waiting for my name to be called.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think that's good, man. And you know, everybody has their moment, right, where they're able to kind of step through the darkness and shine. And so I think you're experiencing that right now. And it sounds like you're ready for it and that you're also going to carry some people with you on this journey, which I'm really excited about. I wanted to ask you a question, and this is along the idea of the role of comedy today in our society. You've talked in the past before about how comedy as both entertainment and education, right? How are you balancing those two roles right now when you think of it, like being funny, but then also there's an undercurrent of a message there that you're trying to share with people. How do you balance that?
Well, I used to think it was just straight comedy until I went to Dallas and they had booked me for a poetry night, but they said, hey man, you're performing here and we're right down the block. Would you want to come over and, you know, like people that couldn't get into the show, you know, they're going to be over here and they really want, everyone's been asking if we can find a way to get you over here. And I was really going to hour and a half time, but I was like, man, you know what? Let's go. You know, let's go see what this poetry, I've never done poetry. Let's go see what it's about. And I ended up going to this poetry night and I've never seen raw talent and true spoken the way these kids were just banging it out there. So that changed the way I do comedy as well. Cause now, you know, it just, I guess I just have to be real and have to be really considerate of people's opinions and just like wanting to touch the heart, stuff like that. So it's just like balancing it out of like giving, I always like to give a message and I always like to, now I give messages during my show, you know, like I just don't do comedy anymore. I do comedy and then I'll be like, hey, you know, if you're out here struggling with some kind, reach out to somebody and don't be scared to ask for help. And it's just been a lot of processing of like trying to put like God, politics, and just wrap it up where it doesn't explode on people's faces or feel some type of way, feel attacked. So I think just responsibility of what you say. So just kind of doing your homework.
Yeah.
So doing your homework and really going over stuff that represent those, you know, comedy usually has a bad rap that, oh, yeah, you know, we don't want that grittiness here. You know, it's just a lot. So the first year that I started, I had to break that wall. I had to go do free shows. I had a, you know, for a whole year. So I didn't see payment for a whole year because I was trying to, let me show you what my team can do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's called priming the pump. You just got to keep priming it. And then eventually that water starts coming. So,
We knew we had the right product. We knew what we wanted to deliver. And I knew as an entertainer that I wanted to put on a production. So we have a 30-minute slot where music just plays in the background. So I opened that up and I started giving artists, performers to come out and sing before the show or rap or do anything they want to do to give them stage time to, you know, help another person. You know, that's an avenue that was just like, we have a 30-minute slot. We're just playing background music. Like, let's get a singer in here. Let's get opening up an opportunity for someone else to, you know, get their pictures, get their videos, get some stage time and help them out, you know? So,
yeah. I mean, the grind is real for sure. So, and if I remember correctly, you guys do a fairly clean show, right? So that's the one difference. And I know, and again, there's nothing, because obviously I listen to Dave Chappelle. And so Dave Chappelle is not, I'm using air quotes now, a clean show when it comes to language, right? So not everybody can listen to that. Like, I mean, you know, if you have young kids, you're not going to sit them in front of the TV, at least I hope not, to listen to a Dave Chappelle stand-up show or, you know, any of a lot of comedians. But there are quite a few comedians out there that, you know, don't use bad language. And, you know, Jim Gaffigan comes to mind. And there are some amazing comics out there that are wordsmiths and use the English language in a powerful way to deliver comedy. And you guys are kind of doing that.
Oh, that's what's getting me booked. That's what's getting me booked. That's what people are feeling comfortable with. And I've already put my reputation out there that I'm a clean comic.
Yeah.
Put it out there heavily. Like, I've done shows for Tyson. I've done shows for Sam's. I've done shows for corporate companies that want comedy, but just don't want to risk it. But now I've pushed it so much that people know already that I do clean comedy. So we're aiming for churches next, you know, I mean, right. We got it. You know, we got the product. We got what I want to represent. You know, when people think about me, that's what I want people to represent, that I'm trustworthy and able to put on a good show and not just come and enjoy the show. Because watching owners and just watching people do my set, they're like so tensed up. They're like, oh, what are they going to say? You know?
Right.
And it's gotten to the point where when I did the Fort Smith show, all the people were working. And when I got on stage, they told me like, oh, when you got on stage, everybody ran. Everybody was going into the trying to watch you.
Right.
When I walked in, I was like, hey, I'm Frisco. And, you know, I'm performing. Like, oh, trust me, we know who you are, man. Everyone's excited for you to be here. And I was like, that just felt good. You know?
Yeah.
And absolutely. They told me like, yeah, man, when you went on stage, like the staff, everybody, we were giving them turns to go in there and watch you. So that felt good. And
that's always a good sign.
Like I said, it's a grind. And like I said, if you stick with it and you pursue it.
So it seems like since we last spoke that the Northwest Arkansas comedy scene has grown, that there are more venues, there are more shows. Can you talk a little bit about, from your perspective, how has the local audience changed or grown over the past couple of years?
People are more interested now. People want it. It's out there. It's a grown idea. And people are like wanting to go to the comedy shows. They're wanting to attend the shows. It's heavy online, how everything's putting out there. So it's grown massively. There's one festival, Diamond State. It starts in October. It's a lot happening and a lot is growing. Obviously, a lot of people hit me up trying to get me to go to their venues and hey, what's it going to take for you to do a show here? And it's just, everybody wants a piece of the cake right now because I mean, that's when my team grows. And I send one of my teams like, hey, man, this venue wants to do something. Go over there, get your name in there and just grow the seed. Because when people think of comedy in NWA, I want them to think of me, you know?
Yeah.
And absolutely. Jokes on us. I want my team to be the
tip of the spear. So I guess you're starting to see familiar faces at multiple venues, which means that people are following you from one place to the next.
Yes, it's crazy.
How does that feel?
I love when I get a rise out of people and get them excited. I feel because once you get excited, I feel like it just diminishes everything that you got going on in the world.
Yeah. And
like, I feel like that's when you get excited, like, it's just like your elevate, your heart races. I don't think there's any better experience than being excited.
Yeah.
So, people get excited. It's good to get them there for a little bit and show them some light, you know, bring them. And then it's like I said, when you open up a light, you open up a door. That's when you throw a message at them, you know, and you let them know like, hey, you know, like we're all here. When I get on stage, I represent everybody. Everybody supports me. I represent you guys are on stage with me. So it's just one of those things that I take serious, you know, and I don't know. Like, I feel like when I'm on stage, I don't feel alone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, and actually that dovetails nicely into the next question I had for you, which was, you know, you've used comedy to touch on cultural identity, family, community, right? Which, like what you're talking about. What topics are you leaning into these days that you see resonate most with your audiences? What are you like, where you're like, after you look back and you review a set that you've done, you're like, man, they loved X or they loved Y. What are the topics that you're seeing that resonate the most with audiences right now from a comedic perspective?
When I think about stuff like that, I think about just, I storytell a lot. And the best ones is always when there's multiple people that have no business being there, you know, just like different right. characters or people that you would think like, what was that person even doing there? It's like life, life brought him there. Like he was there in that moment and we lived it together. And it's just, it doesn't have to be the same color as me. It's just, I mean, people, and it's always, it's never just one culture. It's never, you know, like I said, I've done shows in Memphis where people were like, dude, can you handle a black crowd? I was like, was that supposed to be like, yeah, I got it, dude. Like, what do you think?
Right.
And then I went to Little Rock and then said the same thing. I was like, hey, man, it's a black room, man, and not a lot of comics can hang. And I was like, give me the mic.
Yeah.
And like, I've always gotten the same feedback. You know, people rush to me after the show. And like I said, my comedy, it's not just for one culture. It's not just for, it resonates. So, you know, like thinking back of like story, like what makes them laugh, it's never been like, oh, me. It's always been me, this other person, just different people. It's my stories involve everybody. And it's just whoever's in the room. And I don't know, like right now that you said that, I think about it. It's like, none of my stories have a specific race. No, it's like just common people that were there at the moment. And it's just, it's fun.
Yeah. Fun. Well, yeah. And I think, you know, storytelling, as I like to say, I was responding the other day that storytelling is a powerful thing. And I remember this quote from Steve Jobs. He said that the most powerful person in the world is the storyteller. The storyteller sets the vision, values, and agenda of an entire generation that is to come. That's a powerful statement, right? And so that kind of lends itself to what you just said a few seconds ago about how you just kind of get into a crowd and an audience. You don't care whether it's blue, whether it's brown, whether it's white. It doesn't really matter. People all throughout the human race gravitate towards a good story.
Bags. No, my storytelling is very, I mean, I've had a John Chris, he's a Christian comedian and he's very big. And he was at a show and he sent me a message. He sent me a message, talked to me in person and said, man, your storytelling is, that's on point. That's what's going to make it. He's like,
yeah,
get those 30 minutes and make them shorter. So when the time comes and you're in front of a TV and you're in front of a live crowd, you bang, 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 bang. You know, you can go from this to this, but like send the same amount of damage to the crowd.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you've heard, I mean, even like when I look at Chappelle, and Chappelle is so masterful at how he'll tell a story and he'll weave so many disparate pieces together. And you wonder, well, where is he going with this? And then all of a sudden he just brings it all back full circle. And you're like, wow, that was genius the way that he did that. And there are a lot of people that are really good at storytelling from that perspective. And some give it in really small bite-sized pieces, and other comedians are able to kind of weave a lot of disparate ideas together and make it a cohesive story so that at the end you feel like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. And yeah, I think, you know, we've been moved by stories for millennia, right? I mean, that's, you know, when you think about Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey and the story and the power of the hero's journey, every comedian has utilized that story model to tell a story of something that they've overcome and how they found their way. And so I think it's important for people to understand how powerful storytelling is, especially within the concept of being a comedian and what that entails.
Oh man, when I set up that punchline and I set up that story and what it is, man, when I bring it up at the end, when I hit them with the hard punchline, on the way there, I'm always like, oh, if you guys love that, wait till you hear the punchline. You know, it's like setting up the story. Yeah. And I always built the story and I always built the punchline within the story when I start off my set. And once I see the crowd laughing and giggling, having a good time, I'm like, man, that punchline is going to hit so good. And I can't, like, it's just a buildup and they never see it coming. I mean, it's just, like I said, not a lot of comedians do it, but I grew up on storytelling and I grew up on like a punchlines and just callbacks and just hitting it heavy. So Yeah. Like that made me happy because like when I think about my set and I think when I'm on stage and once I plan it, I can't wait to like to get to it because it's like it's always so good and just watching people be like, oh, you get excited or like, oh, this guy. So just tying all my stories into one huge punchline, that's probably what I do best. So.
Yeah. Okay. Looking ahead, what's next for the Frisco Kid? Like, are there any projects, tours, or new material that you're especially excited about?
Yeah, I'm gonna shoot my special.
Okay.
That's my next project is I'm gonna shoot a live special and try to sell it to Hulu. You know, where that's next step because now I'm at that point where I'm prepared and like I said, any stage that hey, we need you, I'm never gonna say, well, how much time do I got? That's all I'm gonna ask for. And that everyone's been telling me this. Every comic that's, you know, all the ones I've opened for, they've all told me the same thing. He's like, hey, man, now that you got them on lock, now it's time. Now that you got Arkansas on lock, it's time to start spreading out. And the way you're going to do that is video, social media. So I hired a guy and we're going to get to work and we're going to shoot the special and put it out. And
oh, man.
That's
exciting, man. Well, and I think that's the beauty, right? I mean, I'm holding up my phone because most people are listening to this via audio, but I'm holding up my phone, and honestly, if you put this thing on a tripod, it shoots in 4K. You can put a good microphone and connect it to it, and you could get up and just go to town. So it doesn't take much for you to be able to get your content out there for the world to see and hear. Francisco, for people listening who might want to use humor in their own work, whether in teaching, leadership, or just daily life, what advice would you give them about finding their funny side?
Smile. I feel like you got to smile. A smile will break any entrance to any door. It doesn't matter what's going on. If you smile, you give someone the comfort zone to engage, to feel open, to be, hey, what's going on over there? Or, you know, people always gravitate to something just positive. You know, like if you're doing positive and you get around another positive person, it just makes us, it just causes an explosion. But when you have someone that's going through something or not feeling well, something, when they see you smile, it just, you want to gravitate to it because you want to, like, the best compliment I ever got is some lady came up to me after the show and, you know, she waited in line and everybody was talking to me. I'm taking pictures of my thing. And she finally came up to me and said, I was going through some things in life and you just made me forget about them. And I haven't been able to laugh in a minute. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. And that just almost made me want to cry because I was like, I never thought about stuff like that. You know, I never thought about what people, that's why I always try to stay positive. And I always try to, I mean, obviously I'm going to go through life and I'm going to go through things. And I just feel like, I don't know, I lived a hard life. So for me not to smile is kind of hard, you know, and I always try to, if I see somebody down, I'm always going to try to, you know, extend my hand and, you know, what do you need? Like, let's get to work. What can I do for you? Or always, you know, it's just hard. Sometimes it's hard for people. Sometimes it's hard for me. And having to put a smile on and go out there and do it. But I feel like with all the people support me, all the investments I have is I'll take a knee at best, but I ain't falling down. I'll fall down. I'll get right back up. And I feel like that just shows what kind of team I have because no one ever knows like, hey, man, why are you feeling? You know, people know when something's wrong with me and I know myself. So I feel like my support group, people that I invested in, and it just shows that with the right people, you're able to take a knee. And when you get back up, you know, they didn't do nothing for it. They just covered the waves and keep moving forward. So. Yeah,
absolutely. That's my new hashtag. My hashtag is keep going, right? Keep it's like, going. Don't stop, keep going. So
keep going.
Man, well, listen, this has been amazing. For anybody listening to this that isn't familiar with you, of course, we'll put in the show notes a link to the original episode 253 that we did with you. But I want to make sure people have a way to connect with you, to start following you. What's the best way for people to do that?
On Instagram, The Frisco Kid Live.
Okay.
The Frisco Kid Live.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put that. We'll make sure we put that on the show notes. So, folks, just go to The Frisco Kid Live, all one word, on Instagram, and start following The Frisco Kid and see what he's up to. You can also check him out at the Music Depot. It's the second Friday of every month. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to get up there to check you guys out, too. So, I'm going to make myself be seen because I'd like to. I mean, I have found I love storytelling. I also love storytelling when I can bring some humor to the equation, because, again, like you said, a smile is disarming. And if you can make people laugh, you know, you can get past a lot of the challenges that you might be dealing with. when it comes to engaging other people. And sometimes a disarming smile, a well-placed, a well-timed joke here or there can make all the difference in the world. So I certainly would encourage folks to take advantage of that. But Francisco, man, I wish you nothing but continued success in your journey. I've got my popcorn. I am watching it. I'm following you. And I cannot wait, as I said before, and maybe it's prophetic, I don't know, but I can't wait to see your special on Netflix. And, you know, I'll be like, I remember that brother Wynn, and look at what he's doing now. So, and so
it's going to happen. It's going to happen, sir. Man. It's going to happen. I put it in the air. I put it in the atmosphere. I pray every day. And like I said, all my challenges have prepared me for this. So I felt like I was ready 2 years ago, and now I'm locked in. Now I've proven it. I can do it. Good. So I'm ready.
I love it. I love it. Well, folks, he is Francisco Valencia, the Frisco Kid. Please support this brother. Please go to one of his comedy shows. Just reach out to him. Let him know that you heard about him first here on the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. He's doing great things here in Northwest Arkansas and beyond, and he's a great representative of what this area is all about. So, Francisco, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Randy. Thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's it for today's episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Again, a big thank you to Francisco Valencia, the Frisco Kid, for joining us once again and sharing how he continues to blend humor and heart to make a real impact in our community. If you've enjoyed this conversation, be sure to check out Francisco's work and catch him live whenever you can. I'll drop links in the show notes so you can stay connected with him. And if you missed our first conversation back in episode 253, I highly recommend going back and giving it a listen for even more laughs and insights. As always, thank you for tuning in and for supporting the stories that make Northwest Arkansas such a special place. Until next time, keep laughing, keep learning, and keep building community right here in the Ozarks. I'm Randy Wilburn, and we'll see you back here next week with another new episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit IAMNorthwestArkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.
Hey folks, Randy Wilburn here. You know, I always know what's happening in Northwest Arkansas because I read NWA Daily. Every morning, I get a 5-minute write-up with local news, events, new business alerts, and more straight to my inbox. It's my go-to for staying connected to this amazing community. When I meet new transplants to NWA, one of the first things I tell them is subscribe to NWA Daily. It's the best way to discover local events, try new businesses, and support nonprofits making a difference. Stay connected, stay informed, and sign up for free today at nwadaily.com.